So I don't know what's going to happen when we die. Among Christians, there is more than one theory, and it's all based on what's in the Bible, but we don't all agree about what happens. Some believe that it's all predestined, that the people who are going is all set. They don't know who they are, but they're hopeful, and it's all going to just happen, and some will go to heaven and some will not. Others believe that it has something to do with how good you've been. I've been a really good person. But as Lutherans, we don't teach that. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, and that because God is so loving and good, and not because I've done anything special, but because God forgives us and loves us, when we die, we will be with God. But I do not know how it works. My friend Jane, who is a Lutheran pastor in Illinois, believes that we will all go to heaven together at the same time, that people who've already died are in kind of a waiting period somehow. She doesn't think they're in purgatory. She just thinks they're in, like, stasis or something, which means that because her mother died when Jane was a little girl, she believes that her mother, everything about her mother that is her mother, her spirit, her body, are all buried together waiting for the day when the triumphant will rise. Some believe that means that we will need our bodies, and so that they want to make sure that their body's in good shape. I am of a mind that when I die, I'm not going to need my body anymore, and that if God can work out how to get a dead body alive, he will be able to work out if I'm buried or cremated or set out to sea with flaming arrows setting the boat afire. I mean, it's a Norwegian funeral, you know, and they just... whatever happens, God is going to work it out. So I'm not worried about that particular detail. But we don't know what will happen. It's mostly guessing on our part, with some clues and some hints from Jesus and the prophets. But I like to imagine that there's a parade. That when the saints go marching in, it will be one glorious long parade. But there won't be any floats covered with flowers or tissue paper. We won't need those. But I do think there will be music, bluegrass music, brass bands, big bass drums, strolling minstrels and string quartets, guitars and banjos and harmonicas and chorus after chorus of joyful music, all singing praises to the Lord. I, in my imagination, have thought that there might be baton twirlers and flags waving and banners and streamers and probably balloons. And in the parade of my imagination, there is lots and lots of dancing. By the way, you guys need to work on your dancing. There is dancing. There are waltzes and polkas and jigs and hip-hop and bebop and people swirling around in the middle of the street, all kinds of dancing. But even with all of that color and noise and motion, the thing that you notice most about this parade is the faces. So many faces, different colors and shapes and sizes, all streaming towards the city of God. Faces that beam with joy and love, and yet even as they have that common look of joy in their eyes and wonderment, each face is unique. Each face tells its own particular story. There are the faces of those who have come to find rest. They were so tired. They didn't even know how exhausted they were, how fatigued. They have fought the good fight. They have run a good race. But the final days of their journey have made them weary, and they have been relying on another's strength. They have been dependent on God's mercy just to make it through the day. But now there is a spring in their step and a feeling of lightness all about them, and they are so happy to be home. And as they march in that parade, there is a look on their faces of pure joy. As the saints go marching in, there are faces that look too young to be there. They still had so much to do. And if you look at the calendars that they left behind, you would find they had appointments to keep and birthdays to celebrate, and chores to be finished. There are children to raise and lovers to love. There are parents and sisters and brothers who expected something so different. And yet, for some reason that none of us can comprehend, or perhaps for no reason at all, they are not here with us now. Instead, they've joined the parade. And as hard as it is to say goodbye, if you could see their faces, you would see a look of pure joy. As the bands play and the angels sing, there are some who are surprised. Surprised to be there. They have lived their lives trying to believe in God, and yet there were times when they had really tough questions. They had doubts. They weren't quite sure. They had big doubts that got in their way for years, and little doubts that kind of just nagged at them from time to time. And yet now they are pleasantly surprised to find that the promise was true. That they really didn't have to do anything that was special or important. They didn't have to get it all right. God really does love them just the way they are, and now their place is in that parade. And as the saints go marching in, every so often you will see a face that's a bit surprised to be there, but still so joyful. There are some faces in the parade that seem too young to be there. And when you see them marching along next to grandmas and grandpas, it's hard not to wonder, what are those little ones doing in the parade? They are the ones who, although they were just here for what seemed like a moment, we miss them so much. We ache for them, and we wish that they were here. And yet I know that this parade is also for those dear children. God has a lap for them to sit in and a hug to wrap them tight. And as they march with the folks who love them, their faces are aglow with a look of pure joy. On this day, we are called to remember the saints who have gone before us, to remember the ones who are leading the way in that glorious parade. And in remembering them, we find the gift of the gospel. Because you see, unlike a lot of other parades, the parades of the saints is going somewhere. There is a destination clearly in sight. In the book of Revelation, John describes it as a beautiful city shimmering with the glory of God. It's shining like a precious jewel. It is a place of lightness, a place of beauty, a place of no locked doors, and they never turn off the lights because God is the light that's in the city, lighting it up. This huge, enormous city with room for everyone. There is a place for everyone in the city of God. And when you get there, there ain't going to be a church. There won't be a temple. There is no church or religious building in the city of God because in that city, God is the temple. God is the church. God's very self is fully present, close enough to see, close enough to touch. You don't have to go looking for God because God is right there in all those places. And that's where the parade is headed, the holy city of God. And in fact, the front of the parade is already there. The celebration has already begun. The bands are playing at the gates of the city. The dancers are wending their way through the streets. And we are at the other end of the parade. For this is a parade of all the saints. This is a march for all of God's children, and there is a place reserved for each of us, a place made ours not by anything special we've done. Our place in the parade is ours because in baptism, Jesus has made us his own, and he calls us to come and to follow him into the city, knowing that it is our home, that it is our true home, as familiar as any place you've ever lived. It is, as Paul says, our glorious inheritance. It is our hope, and it is God's promise. It is the place where all the blessings come true. It is the place where the hungry are filled, grief is ended, tears are no more. It is the place that will bring to your face a look of pure joy. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.